I don't have a scripture to start with. We'll have lots of scriptures to look at. I just have a phrase for you, actually just three words. You ready for the three words? No. Everybody say no.
No.
Show.
Show.
And grow.
Grow.
All right. No, show, and grow. That almost sounds like something from Dr. Seuss, but it really is something important. You can be seated. Since Brother Bernard has become superintendent, a number of things have become prevalent and important. And statistics are one of his favorites. He must have enjoyed that class in college because he uses them a lot of tracking and metrics and all of these sort of things. And it's exciting because he's charting church growth. And he's looking at what works and what we need to improve on and how we need to advance. And he's come up with something called Strategic Growth Initiative. Those of you who are ministers and get the material from headquarters, you've seen that phrase or that title many times in the last few years. Strategic Growth Initiative. And that's the purpose that I want to share with you tonight. And it has to do, at least with Sterling Pentecostal, with no show and grow. And so all churches are encouraged to develop a purpose statement and goals and so on, because the aspect of having goals and an expressed purpose keeps you on track. Now, we're not talking about a business model. I know a few years back. There was a lot of push for emergent and different catchphrases that went around in ecclesiastical circles and churches and so on, and it really looked like we were trying to encourage a business model. Now the church has business to take care of. We know that the lights have to stay on, the heat has to continue, especially in the cold months. We'd like for it to be a little bit cooler, but in the summer months here, but thank the Lord, there are things that are taken care of. The insurance has to be paid, and on it goes. We know there are some business aspects, but the spiritual aspect has got to be above everything else.
Yes.
Amen. And so no show and grow all has to do with your relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not strategic in the sense of a business model. Not an initiative in the sense that if it is to be, it is up to me. You know, all of these different things that we talk about and look at. But the growth, praise God, is what we desire to see. So know and show and grow has to do with these aspects. And I want all of our ministries and all of our members and all who are watching on internet, I think more people watch on archives than they watch live because of the pauses, unfortunately, that we're still experiencing. Hopefully, we're going to get it smooth here eventually and get these upgrades in place and everything work out. But I want everybody on the same page. And so so that there can be that push, there can be that emphasis, there can be that direction that we're all going together. Praise God. And as many as we can get to come along. Praise God. And so that's the aspect we're going to be working with. So first of all, to know Jesus Christ as Savior. This is the statement. To know Jesus Christ as Savior. The disciples, every generation who heard the prophecies of Isaiah and the other prophecies that we know are there, the Psalms are prophecies actually about Messiah. They were all looking for him. They were all desiring that he would come. They were praying for him. There was an active search. And so when the disciples said, "We have found the Messiah," they were exclaiming something astronomical in terms of the importance of the Hebrew nation. When Andrew told Peter, "We have found the Messiah," and Philip told Nathanael, "We have found him," there was a level of excitement and even questioning, because Nathanael, remember, qualifies it a bit by saying, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And thank God, the Lord's able to turn circumstances that the devil meant for bad, he can turn them to good. And we thank the Lord that he's able to do that. But they looked for the Messiah. They desired for him to come. And maybe there were questions, and maybe they forgot that Isaiah said a child would be born, a son would be given. And maybe they were expecting just all of a sudden an announcement of a grown man from here or there or somewhere, and he would be recognized as the Messiah. Every expectant mother, no doubt, thought, "Is my child going to be the Messiah? Is what's going to happen? What's going to take place?" Amen. And thank God, the even cultures' barriers were crossed. The Greeks came in John chapter 12 with the request, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Praise God. And in that same chapter, the Pharisees complained, "The world has gone after him." Thank God, that would be true today. And there would be a recognition of others coming to know the Lord. I'm thankful that we find many times in Scripture the Lord speaking to one individual. The multitudes are exciting. The multitudes are thrilling. You wonder who milked the cows, who took care of the sheep, who cooked the dinner, and so on. They didn't come to the hillsides to hear the Lord saying, "He's going to break out the bread. You watch. We're going to have something to eat. He'll take care of it." No, I think they just came to hear him. And then the Lord recognized the need, and he multiplied the loaves and the fishes and provided for them. Yes. Praise God. But they focused on him. They desired him. They sought him. And thank God that that's true. But the Lord spoke to the individual. And that's always exciting to read about as well. That woman who came to the well. All the other women from the community had already taken care of their responsibilities, their needs. She came at a time when there wasn't going to be a crowd, when there wasn't going to be gossip, there wasn't going to be exchanging of news, because she was more or less an outcast, more or less one that didn't fit. But the Lord made sure he was in Samaria at that hour, at that time, when she would come to the well. Praise God. Amen. And thank the Lord, her revelation of Jesus was continuous. He's a Jew. He's a prophet. He's Messiah. He's Christ. He's Savior of the world. And she proclaimed that to the whole city. And because of what she experienced. And then those men were later on able to say, "Now we believe. Not because you told us, but because we've heard him ourselves." Amen. Thank God for a personal experience in the Lord. Hallelujah. But it's real significant that when she said, "I know that Messiah cometh," Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." Now, this is one of the I ams. In fact, the New Living Translation adds the note, "The I am is here," is how he said it. The I am is here. Praise God. In the Greek, it reads, "The I am is the one speaking to you." Praise God. The man born blind. What an incredible need in his life and for his parents and just his whole lifetime. And the Lord making a change. Bang, just like that. Amen. Can you imagine waking up blind like you've awakened every day of your life? And you're going through your mind of what you need to do. You can't, there's no visual reminders, there's no list to read, there's nothing like that. He just has it all memorized. The path to the market, to the well, to the temple, whatever. He He knows how many steps. His ears can hear all of the different changes that he experiences as he's getting around in the community. He didn't just stay in one place, but then changed. Praise God. Amen. And he went and washed, and he came seeing. Such a simple statement, but it encompasses so much. Because he's knowing the Lord as healer. He's knowing the Lord as the one who would direct him. He shared his testimony 4 times to a doubtful crowd, a crowd that was criticizing, a crowd that was pressuring and intimidating and trying to make him reverse his statement. How ridiculous. And they cast him out instead of celebrating, instead of having a huge feast. They cast him out. But Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Praise God. That's the hope that you can extend to somebody else. Someone who feels they've gone too far, they've sinned too much, they've had too many things to weigh them down. The Lord says, you come to me, I'm not going to cast you out. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. The Lord found him after he'd been cast out. The Lord found him wandering and looking at this and looking at that. And the wonder is still upon him. The amazement is still in his eyes. And the Lord found him and said, do you believe on the Son of God? The man answered, who is he, Lord, that I might believe? Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Oh, man, the wonder again, the amazement again, the excitement again. And he said, Lord, I believe. And right then and there, he worshiped. Praise God. Didn't matter if it was on a street corner. Didn't matter where it was. Amen, he worshiped. He rejoiced that he was able to see and give the testimony of healing. Amen. Don't stop giving your testimony. Amen. It may seem rehearsed, I guess, to you. It may seem memorized to you. All the better. Praise God. Because then you can share it in a nutshell or you can expand on it, whatever the circumstances allow. But share your testimony. You've been healed. You've been delivered. You've been saved. Praise God. The Lord has done a work in your life. And then go on to know more of Jesus so that you can tell others about him and they can come to know him. Know Jesus Christ as Savior. Praise God. The Lord emphasized teaching. Matthew 28:19-20. He emphasized teaching. Go ye into all the world. Teach. Teach them to observe. Praise God. Aquila and Priscilla took that at face value. They heard Apollos. Oh man, he's eloquent. He's intelligent. He knows the scripture. He can rattle them off. He can tell great things about the things of the Lord. And they took him aside. They expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. I don't know if they invited him to lunch. I don't know if they said, hey, come and have dinner with us. I don't know if they said, hey, you got time to just sit down and talk about Scripture. And you know a lot about Scripture. That's exciting. That's awesome. Let us tell you a little bit more. Amen. And oh my, what a change that came to his life as well. So teach, amen. Know so that you can teach. Peter said, such as I have, give I thee. And we know you can't give what you don't have. We'd love to give a whole lot more to Mother's Memorial, but we don't have it. So we'll just give what we can. Praise God. And the Lord will bless. All right? Show Jesus Christ in our actions and lifestyles. Yes. Show him in our actions and lifestyles. The Lord talked about being fruitful. That's evidence. In John 15, he used the words bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. The emphasis was on fruit because he let us know you're chosen. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you. that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There's evidence of who you are, of who you belong to. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. He spoke of good fruit. He spoke of evil fruit. He spoke of false prophets, of sheep, or rather wolves in sheep's clothing. And he gave that warning that you need to take a look at what they're producing, what they're putting forth.
Yes.
Amen. Because fruit in both deed and doctrine are going to be made manifest. And our deeds and our doctrine need to be of him.
Yes.
Praise God. And we show what he has done in our lives. Praise God. The disciples were known to have been with Jesus. Peter being recognized as he's following the Lord, and he's ashamed that he ran, and he's trying to, I suppose, make up for it to some degree, to be following the Lord. But the damsel at the door said, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Denial. One by the fire said, art not thou also one of his disciples? Denial. And then Malchus, whose ear was picked up from the dirt and reattached to his head, had a kinsman who said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Denial, and then the rooster. Oh, man. What a difficult 3 days Peter had. The shame, the sorrow, the remorse, the tears, the repentance, and the fear that had just gripped him. But praise God, the day of Pentecost, it's not fear now, it's faith. Praise God. He received the Holy Ghost and there was power like the Lord had promised. They were endued with power from on high. Hallelujah. They spoke in tongues, and then Peter stood up with the 11 other disciples, and he preached. He preached fearlessly. He preached powerfully. He preached scripturally. Praise God. Amen. Don't let anybody intimidate you that you're using scripture. Amen.
Yes.
Trying to tell you it's outdated, it's irrelevant, it's old-fashioned. Thank God. It's classic. Praise God. People make a big deal out of classics. The Word of God is even greater than that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then to the council, after the lame man being healed, they're arrested again. They're brought in before the council again. But this time is not fear. This was the council that crucified the Lord just a few months before. They had the power to do it again. But Peter is fearless. He proclaimed the name of Jesus as healer. He proclaimed that name as the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. And then Acts 4 and 13, we know this one, the boldness of Peter and John. And that council looked at them and said, these men are unlearned, they're ignorant. Not a very flattering evaluation. But they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Praise God. Amen. They showed it. It was obvious. It was evident. They knew. Praise God. And the key for you and I today to have that kind of impact is to be with Jesus. Amen. In the times of worship, in the times of prayer, in the times of study, in the times of sharing, thank God, be with Jesus. Now, let me ask you, what are some signs of a disciple? How do we know someone, this is the fruit now, how do we know that someone is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Just what are some of the things? Brother Steve? Okay. There's a life that's changed, and they're walking as a different person. All right? Okay. All right. Anything else? Jackson.
Following God.
All right. Following the Lord. Amen. Now, Jesus said, John 13 and 35, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And what is that sign? Sister Nichols said it. If you have love one to another. Now, all the other signs are important. Powerful in prayer, fasting, witnessing, faithful, committed, praise God, worshiping, walking holy. All of those are fruit that's got to be shown. But the Lord said, you have love one to another. That phrase, love one another, on my program, says it occurs 19 times in the New Testament. Sometimes it's the words are linked, not necessarily in that exact order, but they're together. I'm reading Ken Gurley's book on prayer again, and he says the phrase one another comes up 100 times in the New Testament. There's something about being together, isn't it? There's something about having one another to encourage us and to pray for one another, to love one another. Praise God. John chapter 13 and chapter 15, love one another comes up 5 times. There's an emphasis that is there. John continues that in his first letter. In 2 chapters of 1 John, love one another again shows up 5 times. The emphasis is there. The repetition is there. Love one another. Because we know from Paul's writing, 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Praise God. God so loved the world that he gave. And thank God the giving was on the cross, the highest expression of his love. Paying for salvation, making forgiveness available. Praise God. And thank the Lord, Peter was the recipient of that love. Not the condemnation that he was heaping upon himself, not the reproach that no doubt the devil was just hammering him with. Thank God there was love that he felt from the other disciples. Amen. And the Lord asking him 3 times, "Lovest thou me?" Some say that was to expunge the 3 denials. I think the Lord was just trying to emphasize love and ministry go together. Amen. This is how you're to minister, Peter. So, we see Peter writing about love. 1 Peter 1 and 22. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren." That's not fake. It's not a sham. It's not make-believe. "See that you love one another." There's one of those phrases. "With a pure heart fervently." Praise God. See to it. Don't fail in that category, because that's what the Lord is looking for in a disciple. 1 Peter 4 and 8. "Above all things," and Paul uses that phrase as well, "above all things, have fervent charity," or fervent love, "among yourselves." And then look at this last phrase, "for charity," love, "shall cover the multitude of sins." Wow. Now we know the blood covers, we know the Lord's mercy covers, but this "among ourselves," love is going to overlook those slights or, problems. Love is going to step beyond those things, and that fervent charity among ourselves is going to continue to lift us up above those situations. Paul emphasized, "Speak the truth in love," Ephesians 4:15. I like the way he connects it with the growth. Growth is coming up next. But he says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise God. A love for the Lord, a love for lost souls will cause you to speak truth in love. And thank God the church is designed to increase. That's what the Lord desires for us. And it will edify itself in love. Let me share with you this passage, Ephesians 4:15, in the Living Bible. We lovingly follow the truth at all times, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, and so become more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Praise God. That's a pretty complete rendering, isn't it? How to speak truth in love. We need both truth in love and love of the truth. Both of them need to be in operation in our lives. Because edify means to build up. It means confirmation, encourage, uplift, strengthen. Praise God. We're praying for people to come back to church. We're praying for people who need to be renewed in the Holy Ghost. They need to have a restoration. They need that. When they come back, what do we say? One person who came back just recently said that somebody asked her, how long are you going to stay this time? I don't know who asked her that. But that's not what should be asked. That's not what should be said. Because that's not love. That's not love. And by the way, when this person was looking at where to go, what church to be a part of, she said, I want to go here, meaning SBC, because they have fruit. She recognized the power of prayer. So she shouldn't have heard, how long are you going to stay this time? No, no. We want to show that love. Yes. That love. Praise God. Show that. Jesus talked about, and then one other thing. Please be careful about what I call swarming at altar time. God bless you. I know we love to see people pray and seek the Lord and desire. Some people don't want to be touched. Some people don't want to, you know, have everybody around them. So be careful about that. There was a young lady here that before she came said, I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want anybody around me. And praise God, nobody did. That's excellent. That's good. I'm praying she comes back. Thank the Lord. And so we want to make sure it's the Lord who is directing us in that area, okay? And if your pastor says, you know, back off, then don't feel like he's picking on you or doubting our sincerity or spirituality or anything. No, I'm trying to watch out for that person, okay? All right, so a light in the house, a light in the city, a light in the world. Jesus spoke of all three. You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. A city that's on a hill, you can't hide it. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Yes. Praise God. That they may see your good works and glorify you. No. Glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. And I always want to remember 1 Corinthians 1:29. It's such a simple little statement, but it fits in so well with where we are here and talking about the light. No flesh can glory in his presence. I want him to get the glory. I want him to be lifted up. I want him to be exalted. Okay, our time is moving on here. So grow in Jesus Christ through the word and experiences in the spirit. Grow in Jesus Christ through his word and experiences in the spirit. Thank God that there's always an increase in God's word concerning his people. There's always more. Joseph went to Egypt, and oh my, what experiences. What an incredible story of God's faithfulness and the Lord being with him. Stephen makes mention of it in his little history lesson about the Hebrew nation. He says, the Lord was with him. And then it goes on to say, gave him favor, gave him wisdom, made him the governor. Praise God. That's the Lord being with you. Those are the kinds of things that can happen. That's why you want to grow in the Lord. Amen. And Joseph may have thought, I sure miss home. I sure miss my dad, my mom. And even though my brothers picked on me, I miss them. I miss the good food and, you know, on and on. I miss hearing Hebrew. You know, all of that. And I'm convinced he prayed in Hebrew. That's how he remembered it. Amen. And four times they call him a Hebrew. He didn't switch over to being an Egyptian. He hung on. Praise God. And then, of course, we know the changes that came. Exodus 1 and 7, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mightily, and the land was filled with them. Look at that redundancy, saying the same thing over and over. To emphasize, God wants his people to grow, to increase. Praise God. Now, this is the result in spite of the Pharaoh being harsh, the Pharaoh being mean, the Pharaoh reducing them to a slave nation, the Pharaoh inciting infanticide. They still increase, they still grow. Verse 12, you drop down to that. The more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied. The devil's not going to win. The world's not going to beat you down. Amen. Society is not going to intimidate you to the point of giving up. Oh, no. Thank God we can hang on to the blessings of the Lord and the strength that he gives. Deuteronomy 6 and 3, just before the Shema Israel, hear the writings of Moses. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Praise God. Mightily the increase that God would bring, that God would bless. Amen. The milk and honey was to be abundant in that land. And the Lord said, I want my people to be abundant. Amen. I want there to be enough people to partake of all that I have for them in abundance. Grow. Grow. Thank God. And thank the Lord. There's always more in God's word, more in the spiritual experiences that God would have us to have. Always more. Thank the Lord. That's why I'm convinced that we'll say at this camp meeting, this is the best one yet. You know why we say that? Because our needs change. Our needs get met every time. We have different needs because it's a different situation. And that's why we say this is the best one yet, because God took care of our needs. Praise God. And he continues to be the one who provides in such a wonderful way. And so we see in the book of Acts, there's the increase as well. Lots of them that we could cite here, but for time, we'll just go to Acts 16 and 5. The increase was ongoing. You see it again and again. in the chapters of the book of Acts. And so were the churches established in the faith. They weren't wishy-washy. They weren't up and down. They weren't blown about by every wind of doctrine. They were strong in the faith. And they increased in number daily. We see how it started out. God added to the church daily such as should be saved. He's still doing it. Praise God. And thank the Lord there's that increase that God wants us to see. The church can increase and edify itself in love. We saw that in Ephesians 4:16. We recognize, all right, let that growth be there. Let that increase be there. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Paul is telling the church, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. There's that phrase again. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. Thank God. There's that possibility of increase and abundance, because that's God's plan. That's what God can do. That's what he is expecting you to call on him for. Amen. And, you know, I don't think we've seen the growth that God wants us to have. No, I think the Lord has got much more that he wants to bestow on us. Thank the Lord. And we might say, well, why doesn't he do it then? Because God's waiting for us to step forward with the and meet the challenges. Oh, mighty man of valor, who are you talking to? You know, Gideon was a little bit confused, looked over his shoulder to see who the angel was addressing. And if God is with us, then why, you know? We can get caught up with the whys. No, let's step forward and believe. Yes. Amen. Not necessarily the fleeces, not necessarily all of the, you know, the things that we would qualify our faith by. Just believe and trust that God will use you. Amen. And so that's the reason he desires you to grow. Amen. Because there's lots of questions people will ask. And it's okay to say, I don't know. But I'll find out. Yes. And I'll get back to you. And that's good, because that will help you grow, and then it'll also give you another contact. Yes. Praise the Lord. And it's not going to embarrass you. There are lots of things they don't know that you can ask. And thank God there's that increase and abundance that the Lord wants you to have. Peter ends his letter by saying, grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace. And you believe Peter was doing that after his failure, after the rooster crowed? Oh, yeah, I think he focused on that. I think he recognized, I've got to keep going. I can't stop. There's so much more I've got to have. There's so much knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I've got to gain. Amen. To him be glory both now and forever. Thank God we can enjoy it now and look forward to the forever. Thank the Lord. And recognize again what Paul said in Ephesians 4:15, grow up unto him in all things. Thank the Lord. Hebrews 6 is sometimes a little confusing to read. It's just the emphasis of going on unto perfection. He's not saying, when he says, don't keep laying the foundation of repentance and faith and baptism, prayer, resurrection, and so on. He's not saying, leave it alone, walk away from it, you've matured beyond. No, he's saying, don't get caught in a cycle of doing those things over and over again. Go ahead and go on to perfection. Yeah. Go on to more. That's a foundation. And you build on a foundation. Yes. You don't stand there and admire it. You build on it. And you increase. And you go forward. Praise God. And I like the way in verses 4 and 5, Hebrews 6, rather, he says, you've experienced being enlightened. See, this is the growth This is the increase that God wants you to have. You've been enlightened. You've tasted of the heavenly gift. You were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You've tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. That's all, you know, what God has for you. Don't stop short. Don't cheat yourself. Don't let the devil lie to you. Move on into the realm of God giving all of these things. Greater experiences, more knowledge. Amen. And letting the Lord bring forth his power and his blessing in your life. Glory to God. Because there's more spirit and truth. There's more truth and spirit that God wants to impart to you. This woman at the well, you know, she's trying to qualify where and when to worship, how and so on. The Lord said, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank the Lord. See, that's to be an ongoing worship. That's to be an ongoing experience in the Lord. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. And then John 17:17, and what is really the Lord's prayer, this is the Lord praying, he said, thy word is truth. So we emphasize what's in the word. We follow through on the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Praise God. So when you teach the word of God, you sit down with somebody and you're flipping through the charts, or you're using your device, and you've accessed the internet, or you've downloaded, better yet, you've downloaded it right onto your device, and you know, you're sliding through the pages. You're building your faith because that word is coming into you, and you're building their faith. Praise God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that Paul's advice to Timothy, take heed to the doctrine. Continue in it. And in doing this, you're going to save yourself, and you're going to save those that hear you. Praise God. And so there's a dual element there of the power of truth so that you grow in the Lord. Acts 19:20, the word of God grew. This is when they collected all those books. It must have been a bunch of them, because they valued them at 50,000 pieces of silver, and they burned them. Wow, what a bonfire. But they were books on witchcraft. They were books on the occult. They needed to get rid of them. But things got stirred up, and the whole city erupted in a protest, in a riot. And they were filled with confusion. Twice in that passage of Acts 19, confusion is mentioned. God's not the author of confusion. Thank God. We're able to bring forth truth and reality. So the crowd cried out for 2 hours straight, great is Diana of the Ephesians. I guess they were trying to convince themselves. I don't know. But what was going on was they were trying to protect their livelihood, because the silversmiths were the ones who made little Dianas and put them out for sale. And that's why they were crying out, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Could Diana hear them? Could Diana see them? Could Diana stretch her hand forth to heal them? No. No, nothing like that. They needed to hear what Paul had to say. And thank God there's a church in Ephesus that continued the word of God. And 2 Timothy 3:14 says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. See, that continuation of learning is the growth that the Lord wants us to be assured of. And you've been assured of that, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So there's three elements here that Paul is emphasizing to Timothy. You've learned them, you've been assured of them, and remember who taught you. Because they're not fakes, they're not fly-by-nights, whatever that phrase is. I guess that means cheap, huh? whatever it means, be assured of what you've learned because of those you've learned from. And we know another passage that says Timothy knew the scriptures from childhood, and his grandmother and mother taught him. And so that recognition of what the Lord has given, and then growing in that, increasing in that. 1 Chronicles 16, 10 and 11. This is when the ark was returned and David is rejoicing. And he's just almost beside himself in joy and in desiring the Lord. But in this passage, there's the emphasis on seek. Seek the Lord, he says two times. Seek his face. That recognition of the seeking has got to be something, just like we started out by saying the Hebrews looked for the Messiah. They anticipated his coming. They were expecting him to come. They believed their generation was going to be blessed with his presence. Our seeking and desiring the presence of the Lord is of utmost importance here. These phrases are repeated in Psalm 105. 3 and 4, that seek the Lord, seek his face. Amen. Paul said, I press toward the mark. I forget those things that are behind. And I know we testify and we hold on to our testimonies. Is that good? That's good. But we don't rest on our laurels, as the saying is. We move ahead. Amen. We thank God for those victories. We thank God for the outcome of the battle where the Lord provided his answer. And thank the Lord, we recognize he will come through. He will bless. He will provide. Praise God. See, this is part of the growth. The growth. All of you know, you give your tithe and offering. The Lord is going to give back to you. We all know that. But there was a process that we had to go through to learn that. It wasn't easy to start with. We were challenged in our faith to some degree. But we did learn. God can do more with the $9 left than you can do with the 10. Then you didn't give the tithe. But thank God we've learned that. So that's what you pass on. Amen. You go through a sickness. You go through a surgery. You go through a medical emergency, whatever it is, and you pray and you fast. You believe God. You request the church to pray. And we pray. Praise God. And the Lord moves. The Lord steps in. The Lord takes care of it. And you testify. Praise God. Because you've learned that the Lord will provide. You've grown through that process. Amen. And that strength is there. And that power is there. So Paul, he says, I can brag about being a Hebrew. I can boast about being of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee. As far as the law is concerned, blameless. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You know, he could go on and boast about all that stuff. But he said, I forget those things that are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, my. That's what he had his eye on. That's where he was going. He wanted to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Yes. Yes. And the fellowship of his suffering. I have a hard time adding that one sometimes. But Paul also said in writing to Timothy, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Praise God. 2 Timothy 2 and 12 is where he made that promise. And thank God that promise is yours and mine today. Forgetting those things that are behind. The struggles, the stumbling, the mistakes. Forgetting those things. Amen. And moving on to the blessing that the Lord has for us. Now, the Lord himself said, ask, seek, knock. As though to say, there's more. I'm going to give you more. You keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking. There's going to be those provisions. He told the story of a friend at midnight going to his friend's house and knocking on the door. And his friend replying, I'm in bed. My kids are in bed. We're all sacked out for the night. But he kept knocking. The importunity is what made the man finally give it up and give him his loaves and get him out of here. And so the Lord says, ask, seek, knock. And praise God. He goes on to say, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, that's, you know, the new birth is powerful. It's wonderful. It's incredible. But it's just the beginning. You know, we celebrate it like it's a diploma, like it's a, you know, certificate of completion. Well, you have completed the new birth. Praise God. But that's just the beginning. There's so much more that's to come. Praise God. When he gives the Spirit, what about the 9 fruit of the Spirit that goes with it as you develop in the Christian walk? What about the potential of power with the 9 gifts of the Spirit? Amen. Just keep going. Keep receiving. Keep being blessed. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. That's not a new way of being born again. That's not going to give you a new Acts 2:38. No, those are there. That's the foundation. Praise God. That's the way everybody's going to come through. But you're going to experience more. Grow. Thank the Lord. Because there's new life after the new birth. Life in Christ, Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm glad there's life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. I don't live by that anymore. I've got the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And then we know it's what we can have now, but it's also eternal. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. Enjoy it now, and then enjoy it forever. Thank God. Is it going to get old? Are we going to get tired of singing about it? Are we going to get worn out from praising? Oh, no. Praise God. It's going to go on forever. It's going to be the blessing of the Lord forever. So we know Jesus Christ as Savior. We show Jesus Christ in our life and actions. And we grow in Jesus Christ through his word and his Spirit. Praise God. Those aren't isolated purposes or goals. They're integrated. They're what continues in our lives. They're something that's to be in operation again and again. And that's why Paul told Timothy, continue in them, and you're going to save yourself and others that hear you. Praise God, because that's God's plan. That's what God wants us to do. That's how he wants his church to operate. Stand with me, please. Christianity as a whole, as a religion, talking everybody that knows about Jesus Christ, everybody that has a faint knowledge of Scripture, and most of them, that's all they have. I guarantee you, you know more, much more about Scripture than the average person who claims to be a Christian. You can share the Word of God. Amen. But the number needs to keep growing. We would want, like Apollos, to find people who know about the Lord, know about the things of God, excited about serving the Lord, and expound unto them the way of God more perfectly. Not in a way that says, oh, you don't have nothing. Oh, you don't have anything at all. No, we take them from where they are and say, there's more. Look at what this scripture says. Look at what the Bible says here. Praise God. And we make the time. We make the effort. Amen. Brother Gaddy, he's going to be at our camp meeting. He said, I've never taught a Bible study in which I didn't have to give up something else. I didn't have to cancel something else. I didn't have to change something else. I had to make time for that Bible study. I had to zero in on that. I'm adding, of course, to what he said. But that recognition of, I know the Lord. I'm going to show somebody else about him and his power, both in what I say and how I live. And I'm going to grow because there's so much more that the Lord has for me. And I believe it and I want it. Praise God. Praise God. Can we come? We'll be working here in a bit. But I'd like for us to step forward here now. More than a program. More than an initiative or a plan or any of the things that we might look at how this comes about. I hope it comes to be something that just lives in you. I want to know him more. I want to show him in a greater measure. I want to grow and even more that he has for me. Praise God. It's all focused on him, isn't it? It's all about him. And we may get stuck sometimes in our problems and our troubles and our struggles and our needs. And our focus change a little bit. And that's part of being human. We go through that. But to be able to refocus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for showing me your truth. Thank you for filling me with your spirit. Thank you for healing me time and time again. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to tell others about you. Thank you that I've seen others that I've told get baptized in your great name and be filled with your spirit and now are serving God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Because that brings glory to him. That's what we want to do. Glory to him. Can we raise our hands now and just ask the Lord to minister in our lives in that manner?